The World Cup Daily Podcast from William Hill.
Sensacional! Fantástico! Espetacular o gol do Neymar!
All the latest betting news and tips from our team of experts in Brazil and the UK. Check out all of our audio at williamhill.com/podcast. Subscribe via iTunes or browse our channel on audioboo.fm. William Hill, the home of World Cup betting.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Daily World Cup podcast. Alex Dunn here. Privileged to be joined on the line by Lee Phelps, all the way from Brazil. How are you, Lee?
Yeah, I'm good. Privileged. That's like, I had a little chortle to that. Yeah, I'm good.
It's interesting because I'd never feel privileged talking to you in England, but when you're on the other side of the world, all of a sudden, we just miss you a little bit, you know. Cause,
really?
No, not really. But it's nice to say that, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, it's a nice sentiment, and I appreciate it.
Good.
I'm missing you guys.
You're not.
Only in as when you miss someone compared to looking out of your hotel room onto the Ipanema beach.
Mm. Yeah, I can say that. I mean, who wouldn't want to be surrounded by myself and Mark Walton and Dave Kellner when you could be surrounded by Robbie Savage and Alan Shearer and the like? It's a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, you make a good point.
Mm. And I saw you've been palling it up with Pelé as well.
Well, you know, he asked for a picture. You can't refuse the guy. You can't refuse a man like that, can you? So I thought, well, let's have a picture. Now, Robbie was invited to go and meet him at the Hublot Palace, the watchmakers. They've taken over a hotel, and so they've got this, you know, this lavish thing at the top. So I got invited. So I went along. And I honestly was just going to sit in the background and stay out of the way and not ask for a picture because, you know, it's a bit much, isn't it?
Mm.
So, I wasn't invited, obviously. Robbie was. And then when we went into this tiny room, and it was a like pitch black room, more or less, which was weird because we're going to have a picture taken. Then suddenly they turned like a light round and Pelé sat there in the corner and Robbie had his picture taken with him. And there's a little bit of idle chit-chat about, you know, TV pundits and this, that and the other. And he kind of like beckoned me over to have a picture taken, so I couldn't really say no. It was like I'd imagine meeting the Queen, Alex.
Yeah, well,
you know, a little bit of small talk, then a bit of uneasiness, and then you go again.
Well, I'm quite jealous of you, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
While you've been doing all that, I've just been stuck here doing all your work, basically.
Oh, come on! I have been working. That was like a 10-minute sojourn during a day. It wasn't like I didn't spend the whole day with him.
No, that is true. You have been working rather hard, haven't you? So we'll give it. In fact, I can see your videos on the website as we speak. Give them a watch.
I mean, it's obviously, as anyone listening to this would gather, the job that we do anyway, Alex, is a good job, isn't it? It's an entertaining job, and this is about as entertaining as it gets. It's been brilliant. Yeah, there's no two ways about it. It's a brilliant job to have done.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
We've got we know the quarterfinal lineups now: France, Germany, Brazil, Colombia, Argentina, Belgium, and Holland, Costa Rica. Hard to say that none of those teams deserve their place in the quarters. I suppose that they've earned the right to be there. Of course, it's the first time, isn't it? Is it ever, or is it for a rather long time, that the eight winners of the groups have qualified for the quarters?
Yeah, that is. It has gone to type, hasn't it? In a way, I mean, I was thinking about like how much the bookies must have been getting a paste in like during the group stages, but then all that has flipped round. I was looking at some of the William Hill figures for the round of 16 matches, and although they eventually went the right way, the 90-minute markets have been brilliant for William Hill. I've seen that in the Germany game, the Germany-Algeria game. Was it? I think it was 96% of bets Germany to win in 90 minutes. I mean, that is incredible. And it wasn't quite as big as that with Argentina, because I think people got stung a little bit more with the Argentina game yesterday. But I think it was still, you know, well over 60% of 90-minute bets. And I think people maybe thought, hang on a minute, let's just qualify rather than back them to win the match, because that's going to be safer. But yeah, I mean, it didn't quite go to... it wasn't easy, was it, for any of them? I mean, even last night, that USA-Belgium game, I mean, USA just wouldn't lay down.
No.
It's been fascinating. I think the group stages were brilliant for goals and excitement. The round of 16, more tension, but then drive. And so, to see that many games settled in extra time is brilliant as well. You know, usually in international matches, you do tend to find that teams just settle for the 0-0 and maybe go for the penalties once they get to a certain stage. But there was none of that yesterday, was there? I mean, once Argentina got their goal, Switzerland suddenly thought, yeah, let's have a go now. Maybe should have done that a little bit earlier in the match.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking. For 5 minutes, they battered them. You just thought, if they'd have just done this at any stage in the match, because Argentina can't defend, can they?
No, Tim Vickery said on that first podcast that we did before the World Cup, he said that the Argentina coach, this is a direct quote, said that when my team, when the opposition attack, I shut my eyes. Which is brilliant, isn't it?
Well, that's not really what you want to hear, is it, if you've backed Argentina? But
So
we've got France, Germany, France 11-5. 2-1. In fact, I'm not even going to look at the outright prices. We'll just go straight to qualify markets because you could see all four quarters go into extra time. I think we had 5 of the last 16, didn't we, go to extra time. France to qualify 11-10. Germany to qualify 4-6. Which way are you leaning there?
Towards France. I mean, I think that's the value there. I mean, I've been a lot of the defending's been poor, hasn't it? Which has been great. It's been a spectacle. I think Germany have been one of the worst culprits, really. I mean, I think, you remember when Chelsea used to play that high line and when John Terry, and then he had no pace? Well, I think Germany are doing a very similar thing now. And they play this ridiculously high line. Mertesacker. It's like turning around a lorry. And I just don't think they've got the pace to play that system. And I think France... Yeah, I was at the Nigeria game. I wasn't impressed by France at all, really. When they started to play, they looked good. But up until that point, I thought they looked a little bit pedestrian. The passing was poor. But they've got pace and they've got guile. You know, they've got some players who are in form. Obviously, if they play Benzema in the right place, Griezmann, I think, has been fantastic. And I think he could really cause Germany problems down the flanks. So I think just because of that, I think France are solid at the back. So, you know, that they should be able to withhold Germany's attacks as good as Germany are. Mm. I think France will find more openings than Germany will just because of this German defence. It just looks... I mean, I didn't expect them to struggle against Algeria. I thought, yeah, even given this defensive frailty that Germany have had and this mad system that they seem to play, Algeria won't get round the back of them. They got round the back of them loads, didn't they? I
mean, they were superb, weren't they, Algeria?
Oh, I mean, and that's just, I mean, you know, no, that's Algeria. You know, France are like Algeria plus, aren't they? You know, they've got all the, you know, kind of the French Algerian players anyway over the years. So, I think, yeah, I'd be with France. I'd be edging towards France on that one. I mean, I'm not sure. I'd be tempted to go on the match betting as well. I mean, I know, I get what you're saying. I think it will be cagey. Mm. And I can see why you'd only go towards the qualify price. But I think France could get a goal. If they got a goal, I think they would stop Germany scoring. I think, you know, I think it will be very, very cagey. One bet that I was looking at, you know, for the round of 16 matches was, you know, draw at half time or no score up to the half an hour mark. Because, I mean, there's less of a fear of losing in this World Cup, it seems, but there's still that thing, isn't there? There's still that feeling out period in an international match, and especially in the round of 16, we saw loads of it, didn't we, where it was just kind of just passing for passing's sake almost at times in the first half of some of the games. So, yeah, I'll look at the price while we're chatting about that. So, I think the market is first goal after the 30th minute. I'll check that out and see what price it is. Normally, on the normal Premier League match, it's a reasonable price, but I'll check what it's like on these internationals.
You were touching on the French there. I've been quite... I love the way that the French line up. I think Varane is going to be the best defender in the world in 4 years' time. Mm. I think you've got Debuchy and Evra flying forward from fullback. Kabay almost makes it a back three when France have the ball. Yeah. You've got the powerhouses in Matuidi and Pogba. And then you've got, like you said, the guile of Valbuena. I think the key for me is they have to play Griezmann ahead of Giroud, because for all that Giroud is an okay striker, he needs 3 chances to score. Benzema needs 2, and with Griezmann in there, he's getting more chances. Yeah. I think if France do make that alteration, I can see them going a very long way. And that has nothing to do with the fact that I've backed Benzema to be top scorer and I want him played through the middle.
It's a waste out there, isn't it?
Well, he ends up coming in, which you could say a final dovetail with Giroud, and he'll get all the knockdowns. But Giroud doesn't hold it up that well. For someone as big as he is, he spends a lot of time on the floor and complaining.
Mm. Yeah, he does. And I really like Giroud at Arsenal. I thought he had a great season. Mm. But I completely agree. As soon as Griezmann came on against Nigeria, the game changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's had a fantastic season. He's looked great every game I've seen him in the world, and I've seen him play in the World Cup. There's no reason why he shouldn't be starting the match against Germany, as you say. I completely agree. I think if that does happen, you know, I'm not discounting Germany here. I just think they are two very equal teams in terms of the talent. I just think the defensive frailties of Germany will be exposed, and I don't think France have got that many defensive frailties. So. Mm.
I think they're a good price to win as well, France, though. 11 to 5 on the outrights.
Yes, I like that. You know, I get what you're saying about the 11 to 10, and that's a fair price to qualify. I think it's a really good price. Mm. You've got so much going for you with the draw and the penalties and all the rest of it. That price, though, it's under the time of goal market. So time of first goal over / under. So 31st minute and over, 19 to 20. So I'm guessing that'll probably be the same for most of the matches.
Yeah, you'd imagine
Which I think is a fair price in these kind of tense knockout games in such a big competition. 19 to 20 for the first goal to be 31st a minute and over. Obviously, you need a goal, though, that's the thing.
Mm. Okay, not bad. Brazil-Colombia. 5 to 6 Brazil, 12 to 5 the draw, 7 to 2 for Colombia. In terms of the qualifying markets for this one, we've got Brazil in at 2 to 5, Colombia at 7 to 4. Colombia, I wouldn't say the surprise package of the tournament because people did fancy them to do well, but they've impressed with the way they've gone about their business. Of course, the name on everyone's lips at the minute is James Rodriguez. He has been superb. Currently heads the Golden Boot chart as well, but Brazil at home, 5 to 6. It's tempting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I mean, it's really hard. It's hard to not get carried away here as well because, you know, the place is crazy. It's like, you know, every stereotype you've ever heard, every generalisation you've ever heard about Brazilian people and how much they like football, it's all true and a bit more, I think. It's crazy. When they play, when they played Chile, I was in Rio and I went down and watched it on around the Copacabana, and they got a fan park at one end, which is huge, and they got another screen which they only put on for Brazil games, so then there's even more people on the beach, and then on the road, so next to the Copacabana you've got it's almost like the size of a dual carriageway, two lanes on one side, two lanes on the other, with a massive island in the middle. So you're talking about a big area that was just full of people. No one works. Everyone closes down in Brazil. No one works. But they're not there just to watch the footy. They can't even see a screen where they are. They're just there. Mm. They're just out and about and socialising, and it's an occasion. I think there's a momentum building. And I think, you know, this is what Brazil have been trying to do. I've watched a couple of documentaries about them while I've been here. And what they're trying to do is build something. It's not... Scolari didn't want them just to start the tournament and you know, be winning 4-0. He wanted something to happen, like them to go on a journey, for want of a better phrase. And I think that is happening. I mean, they wouldn't want the penalty shootout, but you know, the emotion that was seen after that penalty shootout win, it's just another step on this ladder. Now, on paper, you would say that Colombia should be able to give Brazil a game, and you would think maybe people here are tipping them to win. You know, a lot of people are saying they're going to beat Brazil. When you speak to local people, people who know the South American culture, they say that there's a bit of an inferiority complex from a lot of South American teams when they come to Brazil. Maybe not Argentina, but, you know, your Colombias, your Chiles, they feel inhibited because they're playing Brazil in Brazil. Mm. There's this aura about this Brazil side. I think that will help Brazil a lot. I think the crowd will obviously help them a lot because, you know, from the national anthem onwards, it is insane in those stadiums. I haven't been in the stadium for a Brazil game, but everyone I've spoken to says that it's just like nothing else you've ever known. So, I mean, it's not really the way to bet, is it? You should be betting on formations and tactics and who's going to do this and who's going to do that. And you look at the players that they have got, Colombia, and you think, well, on any given day, if James Rodriguez, you know, if they all suddenly click, then, you know, they can beat Brazil. Of course they can. 7-2, should we be taking more notice? But I just can't. I can't envisage Brazil losing. It sounds daft. I just can't see them losing.
No, I know what you mean.
It's weird.
It was the same against Chile.
They're not even playing that well, are they?
No, well, I backed Chile to beat Spain, so I was firmly sort of in the Chile bandwagon, if you like. But that game against Brazil, in the end, I did not have a bet, and it is the most I've enjoyed a football match in years because it was just end-to-end. You could see the passion. You could hear the crowd. It was just one of those games that you did not want to end. And obviously you have to feel for Chile. And I just get the impression Colombia will go the same way. Gallant losers.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this player you mentioned him. I've mentioned him already. James Rodriguez. Everyone's talking about him here as being this, you know, superb player. And going to get a great move, all the rest of it. But is he going to? I mean, I can't see him surpassing Messi or Neymar as the player of the tournament. If he does, if he grabs this game by the scruff of the neck and they beat Brazil, then obviously, you know, James Rodriguez should be in every single bet that you have in terms of you know, top scorers and player of the tournament and all the rest of it. And that's not, you know, they've got Cuadrado as well. They've got, you know, Jackson Martinez. I mean, they've got some fantastic players. Carlos Bacca, I've already mentioned. They've got players all over the place who can cause issues. But yeah, I'm going to stick with Brazil. It's not a particularly great betting argument, I know. I think I'd be like you in a way. I think it's almost like I wouldn't have a bet in the match in terms of the outright. I think Brazil will win, but I don't really like the price, and I'm kind of arguing it. The other thing that's worth mentioning, I think, is, and this is not casting any aspersions on anything, on any officials or anything like that, but I think because of that atmosphere, I think there is an almost like a natural human instinct to sway towards them as well. I mean, it's almost all encompassing when you're here.
But it's got to influence.
Even if it's any
human under that amount of pressure, eventually, I'm not saying they'll buckle, because they won't. They're referees, they're there to be impartial. But it's got to have some influence at some point. I mean, Howard Webb, I thought, did a fantastic job against Chile.
Brilliant.
Because he was as impartial as you can be. And he let the game flow, and he wasn't brandishing yellow cards, because it was quite a feisty game at times. But I thought he did it brilliantly. And the referee in that kind of game, you almost want him to be anonymous. It shouldn't be about him. And I think Howard Webb did that as best as he could. And granted, he made a few decisions that were very much touch and go, which on balance he probably got right. But that's something we want to see again, isn't it? A game that is as flowing as that Chile game was. Who would you side with them? Are you going to take Brazil?
I think Brazil go all the way to the final. So I'll go Brazil on this one. I think markets, though, you know, let's not pretend that they're definitely going to win to nil Brazil. You know, I think, you know, it depends on how they go about it. If Colombia go about it and go for it, and just throw caution to the wind and think, let's have a go at this. Let's use all our best players. Let's attack Brazil and get at this defence. Then see a very entertaining. It could obviously go down the same route as the Chile one and be a bit more, low scoring. But you know, Brazil conceded Croatia. They had the 0-0 against Mexico. They conceded against Cameroon. Obviously conceded against Chile. Surprised if they score, and you know, and why not look at that man, James Rodriguez, to nab a goal? You know, just to, if he is going out of the tournament, to finish off the tournament with a goal and give himself a real good chance of getting the golden boot, because that goal he scored in the previous match was just
it's incredible, isn't it?
Any time goal, 2-10, scored more than, you know, he scored as many as anyone in the World Cup. It's not a bad price. So it's again, Brazil aren't the most defensively stable, so I like that. James Rodriguez 21-10 to score at any time in the match. He's just on fire, isn't he?
And Brazil to win and both teams to score is 3-1. I think that'll tempt a few people as well. You obviously will have headline offers up nearer the time. You'd imagine James Rodriguez will be included in some of those, so certainly worth a look. The third game that we'll look at, Argentina against Belgium, 21-20 Argentina, 9-4 the draw, 14-5 for Belgium. Arguably two sides that haven't underachieved, because they've got the quarterfinals of a World Cup, but I think both of them have yet to hit top gear, if indeed they do have a top gear, if you like. Argentina 4-9 to qualify, Belgium 13-8.
Yeah, I tipped Argentina to win the whole thing. I haven't changed my mind at all. I've not been. I can't say you sat there thinking, oh, this is a great tip. This is going exactly how I wanted it to. You know, I sat there watching the game yesterday thinking, oh, my God, they haven't created a chance for ages here. But then, you know, don't you, that eventually, all they're waiting for is that one moment of magic from Messi. And I thought, to be honest, I didn't think Di Maria had his greatest game in the world, but I thought in extra time, I thought he was sensational. Well, his energy levels at that stage of a game, to be bombing up and down still, and the finish was brilliant, and that's all you really need. And then they get the shot off the post. I still don't know how that didn't go in. So yeah, they've had some luck and they've got where they are, but they've still got fantastic players. I was just doing a bit of digging around this morning. I haven't found anything yet about Aguero's level of fitness, because what I've been disappointed with is that this was never a one man team. This Argentina team. We said that the defence was suspect, and that is still true, obviously. But the, you know, going forward from midfield front up to the front players, it was never an issue. Well, I think they've been very disappointing. Lavazzi, Higuain, you know, Di Maria's been good. He's been facilitating Messi, but he hasn't been, you know, in top form. Now, if two of those players start to hit some form with Messi, then they're a real force, because they've obviously got a lot of room for improvement. But there's no sign of it, is there, at the moment? Well, I don't see what's happened to Higuain.
He's been so static, it's been almost embarrassing. He just sort of stands there and expects people to bounce off him in a kind of Mark Viduka role, if you like. But he can't play like that. He's, you know, it is strange. And like you said, they've got the personnel, but they are looking like a one-man team at the minute, which is surprising, I think. What about Belgium then, Lee?
The only other thing about Argentina, very quickly, is that I would say that when you look at the games that they've played, they have come up against brick walls in all but the game against Nigeria. I would say, when they come up against this parked bus, you know, this kind of two banks of four, which we all know is very, very difficult to break down. Now, the first time they come up against a team who beat them was Nigeria, and they looked a bit suspect defensively, but they scored three goals. Now, I think if they come up against teams who do actually open up against them a bit more, then we'll see a different Argentina. However, why would anyone do that? Why would Belgium, who are a very good defensive team, go, you know, open up against them? They're just going to sit back, wait, and try and hit them on the break with their pace players. You know, every game I think, I can see Switzerland. I can see how Switzerland could beat Argentina. And then now I'm thinking, I could quite easily see how Belgium could beat Argentina. Because, like I say, very good defensively, good pace players. You know, Lukaku finally got an eye on goal. Got players who can score goals from nothing. Got class players. Hazard's been a bit disappointing. I've been disappointed with Belgium. I've become a bit of a USA fan while I've been here. So I was cheering for USA last night, just because I think they're better than England there. But Belgium,
I think they've been really poor, Belgium. But as you said, this game could almost play to their strengths, and it's interesting
to
see.
They've got 9 points in the group, though.
Well, that's the thing. Mean, they sort of stumbled.
You can't criticise them.
No, but I think people expected them to be this sort of swashbuckling attacking force, and they haven't been. But defensively, they're sound, and it seems to be whoever's on the bench is so motivated when they come on. It's their subs that are scoring all the goals, isn't it?
Well, I think that's another. You've made a really good point, and you just reminded me. I wanted to introduce that. I'm sure the guys and in play have been talking about this, but I mean, the amount of substitutes—is it 29 substitutes have scored now? Somewhere around. I mean, it's obvious why. It's hot here. You know, it's really hot here. You know, and you're coming on. You know, if your fitness levels are better than your opponents by a percentage point, you're going to get more out of the match as it wears on, like Di Maria yesterday. And I think with the substitutes coming on with such fresh legs, such energy levels compared to what's on the pitch, then it's pretty obvious why their substitutes are scoring. And I'm sure, you know, Punt must be taking advantage of that. As soon as a sub comes on who's an attacker, then it's well worth backing them to score the next goal. I mean, we've seen so many of them. Belgium, they're just not really setting the pulse or racing, are they? But I thought they looked relatively in control against the USA. Defensively really good. It's a tough game, this one. Really is. I'm going to have to keep trusting that Argentina are going to start playing at some point, but I'll go with Argentina to win and under 2.5 goals. I think, you know, that winning margin, they won their group games by a single goal, didn't they? I think we could still see the same thing again. You know, I mean, Messi even money to score, the way people are marking him, I think that's no value there. You know, you look at Di Maria, it's 12-5 to score at any time in the match. Don't mind that as a bet.
Yeah, it's not.
You know,
bad.
If there's going to be a goal, because you know, I'd rather if he's taking up some of the if he's taking some of the space left by Messi. See, what I don't get, again, going back to the other players, this is why I've been so disappointed. If Messi's got three men round him, well, release someone else. What's, you know, someone else take the ball.
Yeah, I agree that you'd expect Aguero to come and take it, or I know Aguero was out of the last game and maybe out the next, but it has almost been. Default is give it to Messi and watch, it seems to be.
Yeah. It does seem a bit like that, doesn't it? Yeah, which is strange. But yeah, I'll edge towards Argentina. I mean, the 4-9 to qualify, which is yeah, it's no sort of price, is it? But on price grounds alone, I think you'd have to go for Belgium to be perfectly honest. But I think Argentina will win the game by hook or by crook. So I think Belgium at 14-5 looks great value, just because I think that's the way they will play. I think that they'll set up to defend, and because they've seen Bosnia do it for 60 minutes, they've seen Switzerland do it for almost the entire match, 120. Obviously Nigeria didn't manage to do it, and obviously Iran did it as well. So I mean, Belgium are a better defensive unit than any of those teams, maybe not Switzerland, but on the power of Switzerland. So I see no reason why Belgium won't adopt the same tactics and try and nick a goal here and there. But I have to trust that Argentina will start to improve at some point. Okay. Otherwise, my bet's gone down the swanny.
Mm. Okay, then. The final quarterfinal is Holland against Costa Rica. 1-2 for Holland. The draw is 3-1. Costa Rica are 6-1. Costa Rica are in a World Cup quarterfinal. That is just astonishing. But they deserve their place there. They've been a solid unit. They got their bit of luck against Greece, if you like, with the penalty shootout win. Surely this is the end of the road for them, though.
Yeah, surely. Surely it is. I mean, they've been great. The fans have been great as well. Like, really, right, really bright and, kind of obviously a Central American country, so they're very taken to the whole tournament really well. It's a lovely mix of kind of almost like an American sensibility with the South American flavour, the way the Costa Rican fans are. So they've just been an absolute pleasure. I mean, to top the group, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, England look like they've got a good result now, the 0-0 against them. But yeah, surely it's the end of the road for them. I thought they did start to look a little bit more ordinary against Greece. I didn't think they were fantastic against them. The penalty shootout was brilliant though. I mean, it just did so well, and the keeper was brilliant, wasn't he? I mean, I thought the keeper played fantastically well. I think he went favourite in the Golden Market after his performance, Navas. So he was brilliant. But if your goalkeeper gets man of the match against Greece, I think maybe the alarm bells are starting to ring a little bit. And I think Holland, although I didn't think Holland looked particular against Mexico, gave them the runaround, to be honest with you. And
that did look unbearably hot, though.
Yeah,
I know that's a silly thing to say, that it looked hot, but you could see the players were absolutely drained.
Yeah, it was absolutely boiling there, and I think they did really well to come through it in the end. Robin was fantastic as usual, got his team the penalty, and just looked great. He seemed to improve as the game went on. I think they'll have too much for Costa Rica. I hope it isn't one of those things where Costa Rica just finally run out of steam. I don't think they will in terms of energy. I wonder if it's a bit big for them. I hope Netherlands don't beat them, helpfully. But I've got a feeling they could win by two clear goals, Holland here. I think they're playing in Salvador at 5 o'clock local time, which is a much better kickoff time for them. Costa Rica, it doesn't really make any difference to them, by the way. Where they play or what time it is, because they're used to this kind of climate. But yeah, I'm going to look at Holland to win it by two clear goals, so -1 in the handicap. I just think they'll have a bit too much, and I think Holland have got the bit between the teeth a bit now as well. I think, let's not forget Holland, that's the World Cup final, 4 years ago. I know it's a different team now, a different kind of way they're playing, but with this manager they've got, who, in that game against Mexico, the way he changed things I thought was fantastic. The substitution was brilliant, the way he used the water breaks was inspired, and he got, once his team got that goal, that they never looked like they were going to lose the game, did they? They just powered on from there. And I expect the same thing to happen again here. -1's 11-8. It's not the biggest price in the world, to be honest, but
it's okay.
It's all right.
Yeah. Holland 2-0, 6-1. Holland 3-0, 9-1. Holland 3-1, 14-1 would encompass the -1 there. It does look like it's a big ask for Costa Rica, but they've had a fantastic tournament. We were going to talk about top tournament goal scorer and tournament winner, but we've been talking for half an hour now, Lee. So I'm going to leave that for Mark to talk about tomorrow with whoever he chooses to talk to.
Just a very quick one on the heat. I'm sure everyone is bearing it in mind anyway. But just a quick guide. France Germany is in Rio at 1 o'clock local time. It's hot here at the really hot here. You know, it's not like it's not as unbearable as it is right up north, but it's going to get warmer and warmer over the next few days. And 1 o'clock, I mean, honestly, it's really, really in the middle of the day. You know, they don't play football here at 1 o'clock in the local leagues. Brazil, Colombia doesn't really matter. They're both used to the heat. They're up in Fortaleza at 5 p.m. kickoff. Fortaleza's boiling at the minute. It doesn't really matter for them. So Argentina, Belgium, they're playing 1 o'clock local time in Brasilia. I've spent about 4 days in Brasilia, and it's about 25 degrees and it's warm there as well. I was out doing some interviews with fans outside the game for the France-Nigeria game, and that was a 1 o'clock kickoff. I was outside interviewing fans, and you know, you were just kind of sweating, just stood outside the stadium. So that's warm. So Belgium could suffer a little bit there after having played, you know, such a long game against the US. I know Argentina played a long game, but they're more used to the climate, I would suggest, and they've had a bit more time to adjust. I think Belgium could struggle there if they're having to concentrate for 90 minutes on defending against Argentina. I think that might be the difference, thinking about it, with the conditions in Brasilia. So it's worth bearing these things in mind. Just checking the weather forecast, because it's stifling.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It does look pretty unbearable in some of the games, so it's certainly something that we have to factor in, isn't it?
I'm bearing up. I know you'd be pleased. I'm bearing up in the heat.
Really?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm managing. I'm using sun cream.
A lot of sun cream.
Drinking water. Yeah.
Well, you'll be pleased to know that today it is overcast in Leeds, as it always is. So no change there. You're not missing much. But no, it'd be lovely talking to you, Lee. Hopefully I'll catch up with you again before the end of the tournament. But continue to enjoy it. Continue making videos. And enjoy all the action.
Cheers, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.